We celebrate three generations of the Cohn, Bernstein, Reed contingent and are grateful for all the gifts they bring to our congregation. On December 4th, 1960, President Eisenhower and the American people received the gift of a rare white tiger named Mohini. For years, Mohini lived in the Washington Zoo and spent her days pacing back and forth in a 12 by 12 foot cage. Finally, the zoo decided to build her a larger outdoor park enclosure so Mohini could run and climb and explore. But when she arrived at her new home, she didn't rush out eagerly adapting to her new habitat. Rather, she marked off a 12 by 12 foot square for herself and paced there until her death, never enjoying the new opportunities in front of her. In the words of Rabbi Sarah Hurwitz, as we age, our brains are hardwired to reject change. We are conditioned to resist new challenges and remain within our comfort zones. However, growing older should not mean that we must exist within self-imposed boundaries. The shofar inspires us to free the Mohini inside and move beyond our boundaries. Our adult education, our life theme for this year, is Transitions Happen, Can You Make Change? Please take a brochure when you leave the sanctuary. Frank did a great job. These high holy days encourage us to explore the cages in which we reside, and literally and figuratively to think us outside the box as to how we might embrace changes for the future. There are changes that are out of our control. The death of a loved one, or an unexpected diagnosis that turns our lives upside down. The job that ends abruptly, or the one that changes because of relocation, a new deployment, or a merger and acquisition. And there are other changes out of our control, caused by events such as natural disasters, crime, accidents, crises, war, and terrorism, often demanding major changes that we didn't want and certainly didn't ask for. And there are changes that are a result of the fact that the world keeps changing. People are constantly inventing, evolving, and discovering new technologies, science, cures, and possibilities that previous generations could have only dreamed of. That Star Trek tricorder is no longer a figment of Gene Roddenberry's imagination. There are real medical devices that do so much of what that fictional tricorder was supposed to do, from evaluation to diagnosis, and people are working daily to perfect that design. The Epcot and World's Fair visions of tomorrow that we marveled at as children are now in our homes, our schools, our businesses, and even our synagogues. The rabbis of old could never have dreamed of a Torah cam. Changes happen rapidly today, especially in the world of technology, whether we are ready for them or not. I say I can't imagine being in a driverless car. Me? Give up control? But then I'm on the Fairfax County Parkway praying that the person driving next to me while texting and not looking at the road doesn't kill someone. Then driverless cars don't sound so bad. It may be a change that could save lives. My horoscope and the Beverly Hills Courier on July 21st said, and I quote, "Remember that change is the only constant. Whatever is going on now, for better or worse, is not going to last. So why not be strong through it? You want to look back and be proud of yourself." There are times that life demands change from us, and there are times we demand or need change in order for life to be better for us. So what is the best way to change? Years ago, Dr. Stephen Danish, a Pennsylvania State University psychologist, said, "I think people don't understand how difficult it is to change behavior. You need to be setting a goal that you can think about and apply daily." Dr. Danish suggested that the more specific your resolution and the more positive, the more likely you are to change. And the key to climbing the ladder of change is one accessible rung at a time. Change is built into the universe. It is a necessary part of living and aging. Change not only happens to us, it is forged by us. As I was hanging up New Year's cards at home last week, I found a fortune that I got at a Chinese restaurant this summer after I announced my retirement, which I saved on my bulletin board. Change is happening in your life, so go with the flow. "Who are you?" said the caterpillar. "I hardly know, sir, just at present," Alice replied rather shyly. "At least I know who I was when I got up this morning, but I think I must have changed several times since then." Alice in Wonderland knew that our bodies change every single day, and some of us are even able to change our minds as well. On these high holy days, change is demanded by God, but not just any change, change for the better. God only asks us to make changes that we can be personally responsible for, and changes that can be made with an act of contrition or atonement, like an I'm sorry, or a change in attitude or behavior, like getting a grip on anger or gossiping or jealousy. We are never asked to make change for the sake of change. That rarely bears fruit. As Reformed Jews, we know that changes are often necessary to meet times and circumstances and current realities. Our view of history teaches that Jewish survival, like human survival, requires us to change to stay relevant and to help us evolve for the betterment of humankind and to improve ourselves for good. I love the fact that the Hebrew word for year, shana, and the verb to change in Hebrew is also shana. One might say that change is built into every year. And the Hebrew noun for change, shinui, comes from that verb, shana. My value added for this year of asking the question, can you make change, is to present a Jewish framework for change. Perhaps, ironically, the best framework for change comes from the Babylonian Talmud in the section Rosh Hashanah, page 16b. Jewish tradition teaches that Rabbi Isaac said, four things change a person's fate: tzedakah, tzedakah, crying out; shinui Hashem, changing one's name; shinui ma'aseh, changing one's conduct; and of course, because some rabbis said four, there were a few who said five, and they said shinui makom, changing one's place. Number one, tzedakah. I know for a fact that philanthropy and a practice of giving is at the heart of everything we aspire to do as human beings. Judaism teaches us over and over again that one must give of one's substance to open one's heart and to see that you are not the only person in need. It begins with the thing we seem most inclined to hold on to, our money. Givers change the lives of others, and in doing so, open their hearts to change. We are living in the least philanthropic Jewish age in history. Jews have forgotten to give Jewishly. The generosity of the High Holy Day appeal used to sustain congregations for an entire year. The Jewish community chest kept every indigent family fed and clothed. Even a Jewish beggar is commanded to give a portion of what he has in our Jewish texts. Today, more Jews give to their universities and non-Jewish causes than to Jewish ones. And those of us who tithe as Jews, giving 10% of our gross income willingly, as commanded in the Torah, is at an all-time low. We are supposed to give tzedakah before we do anything non-essential for ourselves, before we buy luxuries, before we take a vacation, before we buy that new iPhone 10. The practice of giving opens your heart in ways that nothing can. Tzedakah, more than any other Jewish value, changes our fates and the fates of others. Tzedakah links us to the God within and helps us be vessels of God in our world. In a High Holy Day video message on our Facebook page this week, I love the idea put forth by Dean Josh Holo of HUC in LA. Atonement lies in transforming your sins into a mitzvah. Transforming your sins into a mitzvah. Don't just say you're sorry. Do something about it. And tzedakah is a phenomenal way to do it. The second thing that changes our fate is tzedakah, crying out. It is not enough to post a rant on Facebook or Twitter. You need to use your voice and your will to make effective change in our world through action. Not speaking out against evil and wrong in our world is one of the greatest sins for Jews. Even in times when our voices were silenced as a persecuted minority, we spoke out for righteousness and justice at personal peril. Those who do not cry out against injustice are complicit to it. And those who let others cry out for them, vote for them, be activists for them, or let others worry about what is good for our planet, fail to be God's change agents in the world. There are issues that obligate all Jews, issues that require tzedakah, screaming out for the voiceless and the vulnerable everywhere. There are people living in boxes smaller than 12 by 12. What are we doing to change that? The third change of our fate, Shinui Hashem, literally taking a new name. Our tradition teaches change your name and you change your mazel. But imagine for a moment that you changed by your name by changing the way you perceived yourself. I am not a loser, I am a winner. I am not an outsider, I am an insider. Let me tell you that I was not popular in school. I was a brainy nerd. It is still a marvel to me that people line up to talk to me at Onik. Sometimes I'm like in the social hall and I'm thinking, little Amy Rosen is now Rabbi Perlin, and people actually want to sit at my lunch table. Years ago, I told myself, think tall and you will be tall. My Mike Mason will be atoning all day. We are all nouns. Wife, student, boyfriend, athlete, friend, classmate, neighbor, colleague, writer, artist, dancer, scientist, grandparent, new grandparent. The baby was born during a Vino Malcano last night. And the list goes on. But the name change that is most important is the adjective we put in front of those nouns. Loving son, faithful friend, supportive sister, attentive caregiver, tireless volunteer, caring person, good Jew. Change your adjective in any relationship for the better, and it will change your life. The fourth category of change for the rabbis is shinui ma'aseh, change what you do. There are things we all do that could use improvement. We fall back on old habits and responses. I have learned in all my years of counseling that people who make the effort to change or improve one thing find it easier to change with the second and third thing. The first change is the hardest to make. Going to therapy, giving up drinking or smoking, ending an unhealthy relationship. You can't always anticipate change ahead, but avoiding change doesn't get you very far. And it is usually best to take one change at a time. Rabbi Stephen Listfield and Rabbi Dov Peretz Elkins teach, one of the many things that prevents us from changing is the enormity of the task. How can we be one way all our lives and then suddenly, after a few days in synagogue, become another person? The truth is that we are being asked only to make small, gradual changes each year. After many years, they add up. And putting the small changes together, they become a very large improvement, and they give us an example. At a service honoring him in Jerusalem, a righteous Gentile who acted bravely for our people during the Holocaust said this, "I did little, but if many had done their little, it would have added up to much." The rabbis conclude, just by tending to our small corner of the world, we have the potential to make a great contribution. And those rabbis in the Babylonian Talmud who added the fifth change your place. To me, this means living the Jewish axiom from the Mishnah, Pirkei Avot 2:6, attributed to Hillel the Younger, Hillel ben Gamliel. B'makom she'en anashim tishtadel lihiyot ish. In a place where there are no human beings, strive to be human. Sometimes the toxic workplace or family or community necessitates a move to an environment more conducive to living your values. I am thinking of the girl who left her dysfunctional family to make a better and healthier life in a scary world that proved to be safer than the one she came from. Or the woman who left her job because the work she was asked to do was contrary to her values and her faith. And I will always admire the man who left a wonderful corporate job because the dishonesty and lack of integrity at the top tainted everything he did, and he couldn't live with that. These changes of place take a great deal of courage and determination to live one's values all of the time, not just when it is convenient or profitable. A woman proudly hung a needlework plaque on her mantelpiece that said, "Prayer changes things." A few days later, the plaque was missing from its place. The woman asked her husband if he had seen it. "I took it down. I didn't like it," he replied. "But why?" the woman asked. "Don't you believe that prayer changes things?" Yes, I honestly do. But it just so happens that I don't like change, so I threw it away. I'm not sure any of us likes change, but just like prayer, sometimes we need it. It is up to you. You can put the plaque on your mantle, or you can throw it away. Rabbi Yitz Greenberg writes, "The High Holy Days teach us that we can change. They challenge us to break the curse of apathy and begin to live more intensely, to care more deeply, by becoming conscious of what we are doing, by being willing to change. We turn from serving time to living life. We create a new self, more loving, more vital, more connected to others. So let's try something. Take a moment to sit and be still. When you are ready, think about the following. Imagine yourself 5 years from now as you would most like to be. Breathe. What is the source of your happiness? What is the thing you have done that you are most proud of? What is the contribution you've made to the world that brings your heart the most satisfaction? Now, just one more question. What change or changes would you have to make to enable the answers in your heart to become the daily and continued reality of your life? Technology, I love it. The questions are in your service folder to take home with you. Think about them. Can you make change? What do you need to make change? And as our tradition teaches, if not now, when? In their meditation for change, Rabbi Erwin Kula and Professor Vanessa Oakes suggest we recite the following to God. God, help me to take a good look at my life and give me the courage to make the changes I want to make. Guide me on my journey as I strive to make good changes in myself and in the world in which I live. One last story. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who lived from 1740 to 1809, told the story that he started out his rabbinic career wanting to change the world. After several years, he realized it was too hard, so he decided to change his community. Several years later, he abandoned that goal too. Too difficult. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchak chose to concentrate on changing his own family. We could have told him good luck to that. He finally concluded that the only one who he could really change was himself. If we decide not to help ourselves, then we can't possibly hope to make the other repairs that are so desperately needed in this broken and divided world. You can live in a 12 by 12 cage forever, or you can change yourself and then your world and perhaps even someone else's world for the better. For Jews, the possibility to change is given by God. The desire to change is up to us. So I ask you, can you make change? Can we make change? I believe in you. Shana Tova.